Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and today we're continuing in our study in the book of Joshua, and we're going to just jump right into chapter 9. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel, with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work willily. Okay, well, I've never seen the word willily before, or noticed it before anyway. They worked together with subtlety. There we go. And went and made as if they had been ambassadors. Okay, so we have the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua did to Jericho and Ai. Now the others, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, the Jebusites heard of it, and they gathered themselves together to fight with Israel of one accord. But Gibeon, well, they were a little bit more cunning. They said, we don't want to fight. We want to make peace. So we're going to, and we'll see what they did. They did work wily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old, rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted them upon their feet, and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye league with us. And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us. And how shall we make a league with you? And they said to Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you, and from whence do you come? And they said unto him, from a very far country. Thy servants are come because the name of Yahuwah, thy God, because of the name of Yahuwah thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, wherefore now make you a league with us. This our bread we took, hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now behold it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of very long journey. And the men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of Yahuwah. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. Well, you see what's going on here. They're really Gibeonites from the land there. And they want to make a pact, so they pretend that they're coming from a far journey. And they're very cunning in making league with the children of Israel. Well, the children of Israel look at their provisions, and they do the logical thing, of course. They go, oh yeah, these people are from far away, because they believe them, because they're deceived into believing their false evidence. The evidence that they brought forward to say, hey, look at this, you know, we are from. And so, you know, what of it? So people come from another place that they're not supposed to conquer, not supposed to kill all the inhabitants thereof, because they were told to conquer the land of Canaan. So you have these people, they believe, coming from way, way far away country. Yeah, we'll make a league. You can be our servants. That's fine. Ah, so he made peace with them, a league with them to let them live. He entered into the contract with them, a peace treaty, so to speak. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. You know, they were under no obligation at all to swear to these people. Said, well, we don't need to make a league with you because we're not coming near you. You have nothing to fear from us. And what if we make a league with you and our God tells us to come over there one day and destroy you? Does our league with you come before the commandment of our God? No, but they didn't do that. It says it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and they dwelt among them. Yes, they were inhabitants of the land, some of the people that they were told by their God to destroy. And the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Sepharah, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. Okay, city of forests. The children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by Yahuwah, God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. See, the people wanted to go in there and do the right thing. And they found out that their princes, their rulers, the heads, had made a league with them. But all the princes said to all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by Yahuwah, God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spoke unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, we are from afar away, when you dwell among us? Now therefore you are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do, do unto us. And so did he to them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood, drawers of water for the congregation, for the altar of Yahuwah, and even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Now it came to pass, when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho. I'm going to stop here and jump back into chapter 9, because there's a lot of good things there. There are a lot of good lessons to be learned. First of all, it's about making contracts with men, or reasoning with other men. And that's what Joshua and the princes of Israel did. They reasoned with other men. And sometimes when we try to reason with other men, that reasoning, that communication, that communication tends to drown out our communication with our God. So we really need to be careful when we communicate with men and their devices. Because when you're communicating with the Creator, you know, I mean, the Word of God stands forever. And if you belong to Him, all of your communication with Him is for your own good, regardless, even if you're marching to your death, even if you're being nailed to a stake to be burned, your communication with Him is for your own good. Because the men who are burning you at the stake, well, you could come to an agreement with them. You could reason with them, and they would stop burning you at the stake. We have a lot of things going on today where we communicate with men. We reason with other men, but we forget about the communication with our God. Now, the moral of the story, of course, is not that if you make agreements with the ungodly, that you are bound to those agreements. Well, that needs to be considered, and everything needs to be taken on a case-by-case basis. Number one, perhaps they could have judged that they lied. They lied to them, and because of their deception, the agreement was void. Fraud vitiates a contract. It does today, so why didn't it then? And then you think about it, the Gibeonites had another choice, but they did not want to leave their homes. Their homes were more important to them than their own honor. So they lied so they could stay in their homes, even if they had to become servants. But they did have another choice. They could have fled before the face of Israel. They could have escaped the land of Canaan, they and all their children and all their families. All of the inhabitants of the land had that choice. They could have fled and left the land rather than stand and fight and be killed. So they did have a choice. They didn't have to deceive. See, because my reasoning, if they had deceived me, and I had not consulted, which they should have done. They should have went to prayer, and you know what? That His Holy Spirit would have revealed to them right away that these men were deceiving them. And they would have slain them on the spot in obedience to the Word of God. Because they were a 3 days journey away. I mean, the land, you know, on foot is a 3 days journey to the end of the land, to where the Gibeonites lived, to where they dwelt. But they did not consult. They reasoned with the men, and they believed their falsified evidence, and they made a pact with them. And then in the end, they decided to keep that pact. Well, in the land where I live, we have Gibeonites all over the place trying to reason with us and make pacts with us. And they tell you things like, well, if you want to work, you have to enter into an agreement for benefits. You have to go get a social security number. See, there's a deception there. The deception is that, yes, in order to do something good, and that is feed your face and your family, to work for your bread, which is a good thing. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's what the scripture says. So every man does a good thing if he wants to labor and earn money so that he can feed his family and house them and take care of them. He is taking care of his own. He is seeking a good thing. But the Gibeonites out there, the liars, lawyers, and politicians, and bureaucrats who work for the beast, they have devised cunningly crafted fables and laws and things. And they say, well, if you want to work, then you have to get a social security number. Because how many people? I would say that 95 to more percent of the people that go down and apply for a social security number on their own do it because they want to work. At least in my day, they did. But now you're practically born with an SS number. And that is a number for benefits. Of course, when you become an adult, when you become of age, you could withdraw from it. You could not use it. You could recognize it for what it is. But when you use it, you affirm the agreement for benefits. And by signing up for those benefits, you forget about God's benefits. Just like the children of Israel reasoning with men. Well, they forgot all about His commandment. And they made a new commandment for themselves by reasoning with men. So we need to, like I said, the moral is that we need to consult our Heavenly Father about everything we do, and especially when it comes to reasoning with men. When you talk with men, you don't have to give an answer. You just say, hey, you know what? That sounds good. I'm going to go sleep on it. And you go home. And that means you're going to wait till tomorrow. And you pray about it. And I'll bet you, I just wonder how many church fathers, when they thought about signing up their congregation for a 501c3, how many said, all right, men, let's pray about this. Because if they had prayed about it, and God was really their God, I know what his answer would have been. His answer would have been the same as it was with, would have been with Joshua and the princes of Israel when they parlayed with the Gibeonites. If they'd have said, wait a minute, we got to ask the boss, and they stepped back and said, okay, oh Lord God of Israel, Yahuwah, what should we do with these people who come from this far country? And he would have revealed to them in an instant that they are not from a far country, that these men are here to deceive you. Slay them as I commanded you. Yeah, that's right. And these church fathers, if they go, oh, Father, Heavenly Father, should we incorporate with the state? And they earnestly want the truth and they want to obey the Heavenly Father. What do you think the Heavenly Father is going to say to them? See, there's no question, is there? There's absolutely no question, no doubt whatsoever. Now, how about you? Oh, Heavenly Father, should I incorporate with the state on a personal level? Because that's what it is. When you sign up for Social Security, you incorporate with the state. You've heard the video. You've heard about the video, government takeover of the church. It's all about the incorporation issue, the history of it, the legality of it, and what you can do about it if you're in it. Well, now you can apply that to yourself on a personal level. The government takeover of the soul. That's right. The government takeover of the soul, because they own you. You've made a contract with him. But you know what? There is hope. In the same contract that you've made with them, you can get out by means of that contract, or simply by understanding the contract in some cases. You can get out of it. And that's what I believe Paul was saying when he was talking about slaves or servants in whatever capacity they were, bondservants, whatever. Slaves, by whatever capacity, however they got into their position of servitude, he said, serve as unto Yahuwah, serve as unto the Lord, but if you can be made free, rather use it. And he's saying, you know what? If you can be made free, that means that you've entered into a contract that somehow you became a slave. Something made you a slave or made you a bondservant, where you became the servant of a man. And he says, but if you can be made free, rather use it. Rather use what? Well, the way that you can be made free. So you use the same law that got you into the servitude to get you out of the servitude. And of course, with that, you have to have an understanding. As far as the church incorporation thing goes, well, first the church sells the property. That's right. The church sells all the property because they can do that. They unload the property first. They have the right to do that as a corporation. Then they can give back the money to the shareholders of the corporation. That's the members. You have the board, you know, they're the prime members of the corporation, the prime shareholders. And then you have the congregation, you know, they're like the regular shareholders, and you could redistribute the money, and or everyone can agree to put it in another fund for another purpose. Or something like that. Some way you can dissolve the property, and the people that put that property together can take it and use it. And then you can dissolve the corporation and you can become free from that as a congregation. You can start to serve the Heavenly Father with a whole heart, without any chains of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governator, or whatever your governor's name is. Because the governor is the head of all corporations in every state. That's right. And you are bound to public policy. So you've chained the hands of the Holy Spirit, as if you could do that. No, what you've done is you have exited the kingdom of God. That's what's happened, really. When you made a league with the state, when you made a league with Gibeon, you exited the kingdom of God. You said, no, we want a governor like the other nations. Yes, if you remember the story, how it goes, when Israel had said, we want a king like the other nations. Yeah, that's what you said. We want a governor like the other churches, or like the other whatever out there, you know. We need a man We need a king like the other nations. We need a man we can look up to. Because you know what, God, you're just not good enough. We can't see you. We can't adore you like a man. You know, we need a man we can look to. Because men, that's what men do. I mean, look at the way they fawned all over this mulatto that they just made the president. It's like, he's the savior. He's the one. He's the chosen one. Yes, he's the savior. The new mouth of the beast. Yes, but he still is just the mouth. The beast is still very much in control. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll perhaps discuss this a little bit more on the other side. Don't go anywhere.